The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back to The Usual Suspects. It's Nick, it's Barry, it's Joel, it's Friday, it's the day after. And Kevin McHale is so gracious to join us, as he always does once a week here on the show. Coach, you got a big golf match coming up this afternoon. You're in the semifinals. It's like a playoff game. Are you going to step up and perform today, or are you just not going to show up?
Well, I'm going to show up. I can't really guarantee you how well I'm going to play, but I promise you I'm going to try my best. I'm going to show up, and I'm going to go down swinging, my man, if I go down.
Okay, so that leads us to, I guess, the more specific question in that genre, which would be, you watched the game last night. You were a superstar. You're a Hall of Famer. You've played with plenty of superstars as well. Your take on James Harden and that performance last evening?
Well, that was, you know, that was as bad as I've seen a really great player play and come out. And I can't even remember when I even saw anything comparable. And knowing James well, I've seen. Look at that. Multiple times. I mean, there were times throughout games where James would get a little funky. When he gets funky, he gets very passive. And the problem with James when he got funky, when we were trying to do, is I said, go sit in the corner and get funky. The ball gets swung to you. You can shoot it. He stands. If you watch that tape, I say how many times he's standing right in the middle of the floor. And he's just when a lot of players get funky, and James in particular, you do one of two things: either you put your head down and you just shoot, you know, you like Russell Westbrook, just you try to do everything. And then James, conversely, and a lot of players are like James. Like when you get funky, you try not to do too much, try not to do anything actually. So you're just kind of out there. And so I saw that happen. And James would get himself out of it through some games. Some games he kind of stayed into it longer. But I saw that quite a bit in James from time to time. But everybody has those little kind of quirky moments inside of a game when you get a little out of sync and stuff like that. But I don't ever remember seeing James have a game where he started out of sync, stayed out of sync, and was really just a complete non-factor in a game. And it was really, I was watching it in almost in disbelief. Like I said, I'd seen him getting the little funky things, but he usually could get himself out of it. Man, there was no getting out of it last night. And then he just stood to compound all the other stuff. He just stood at the top of the key and just jams up your offense. You can't even swing the ball from side to side.
So, Coach, the narrative seems to be locally and I think nationally that James Harden quit. I tend to disagree. Choke, maybe. I don't know that he quit on the team, but he couldn't have played any worse, like you said, or choked. What are your thoughts? Do you think he was it a little bit of both, one or the other?
Well, I told you, when James gets funky, he gets really passive. He was just about as funky as you could get and totally passive. And that passivity, you look at it, you could say quitting, but I don't think so. That's just everybody has different natures. Like I played with guys that when they went, you know, when they started going south and getting funky, they would just play crazy. They would dribble the ball all over, shoot shots. You're like, oh, my, settle down, dude. Just really, you know, it'll come to you. James is the other way. And I've played with guys like James that they just get very passive. I'm not going to make mistakes. I'm not going to do anything. And It's one of those things where I don't know. You know, quitting is really a tough term. James was just, he played terrible. Okay, that there's no doubt about that. He played absolutely terrible. But I guess I have a little different insight into him because I've coached him through a lot of those times, and in those times, he just gets really passive, and you can just see it out there. And that's when you have to have an offense that you have, you know, that you have different prongs, and you're trying to develop those prongs all the time, and you're trying to say, okay, we got to develop an offense where we can pin down on this guy and do some different things. And you can't just have an offense where you say the ball's only going to go to our top player at all the time. I don't believe in that. Like last night, this is branching off of the James thing. So I think, like, we could talk about James thing all the time. He's had funky games before. He had a funky game last night. Did he quit? I don't think he quit, but he gets unbelievably passive when he gets into those things. Seen it many, many times as I coached him, okay? But here's a different story. Everybody always said to me, you know, you can't play big in the NBA. That's BS. You can play big in the NBA if your bigs are good. People would say to me, like, what Hakeem Olajuwon couldn't play in today's game. I'm like, are you crazy? Now, you saw LaMarcus Aldridge, okay? And a nice player. LaMarcus Aldridge honestly couldn't carry Hakeem's jock into the game. He just couldn't. He wouldn't even carry it. I don't know what he'd do. He'd have to just watch him. But he couldn't do. Hakeem Olajuwon is so much better than any of these low post players we have in the game today. And then last night, Pop said, "Okay, no Tony Parker, really a hard driving guy that tries to get in the paint. No Kawhi Leonard. We run a ton of offense through him." And kind of our, you know, he's kind of their just comfort, you know, comfort zone. He's their little comfort blanket. Whenever they get in trouble, they give the ball to him. Tony was gone. Manu anymore is just not a downhill player. Patty Mills is a shooter. You go through their team. So he said, you know what? Our best chance of winning this game is we're going to pound them on the inside. And LaMarcus Aldridge just went to work and just busted him up, got inside. So, you know, I've been saying all along, you can play big in this league because you know what? What did they score last night? 115 points?
I think it was 117?
Whatever it was.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it was 114 to 75.
Okay, how many twos did they take? A ton.
Yeah.
Because you know what? Their three-point guy, their driving kick, all that stuff was kind of gone.
By the way, so you can Coach, the Rockets made nine total twos last night. Total twos.
First of all, and I will say from being there, when you say that those twos are all bad shots, like I used to always say, you know where Kareem shot most of his shots from? Would be about 12 feet off that right box, okay? That would be considered the worst shot in the history of the NBA analytically-wise. The guy had 38,000 freaking points, okay? It was unstoppable. So it's all relative to who's shooting that shot. That's why I said you have to have different prongs. You can't say I'm all in on this, and if we don't make our threes, we can't win. You've got to be able to have some post stuff. You've got, and you know what? And sometimes that might cost you a couple games while you're trying to develop those prongs. But man, it is hard. And so you know, my takeaway from last night is James, you played terrible,
Coach.
But I watched the team play big, and I was like, thank goodness, finally someone just smothered a team on the inside.
So, Coach Kevin McHale joining us on the HRNP hotline right now. And Coach, that's where I want to go next is, where do they go from here? Mike D'Antoni actually sat him down last night. It looked like James didn't like it. Then you saw the two at halftime on the bench. It looked like you had one seat between them. You'd think there was a mile between them. No one was talking. And then after the game, obviously, the way it all ended, it didn't seem like there was a whole lot of kumbaya. You've been in that position before. And you've been in the tough spot where you've had to sit him down. Now, as you go forward and you're Mike D'Antoni in this offseason and the organization going forward, how do you put this behind you and where do you go from here?
I don't know, because after I sat him down, I think I coached another 15 games total. So evidently that didn't work out very well for me. I don't know. I mean, there are times you got to do that, and like I said with James, there are times I would just tell him, go in the corner, quit standing on top of the hole, get your rhythm, get down there, make a three, just do the. And I think Brett Auerbach said it better, said it best. Brett said, you know what being a great player allows you? It allows you to go 0-for-7 in the first quarter and still play 30 minutes that night. The rest, 30 minutes for the rest of that game. He goes, I have my ninth man come in, and he goes 0-for-7 in any quarter. He may not play again. I might not play him for 3 months. So, with a superstar, you got to give him some ability to work his way through it. And James, they won 55 games this year, and James played tremendously. But, man, I'm telling you what, like I said, I've seen that side before, that passive side, and you've got to have some different things built in. How do they get by this, past this? I mean, hey, look, Mike sat him out. It looked like James walked up to the timeout and said, am I out? And he said, yeah. And James went back and sat down. I'll give him credit. He didn't jump up and down and make a fuss. He went and sat down. I think if you're Mike, you've got to sit down with Daryl and Les and say, you know what, we need another prong or two. I know all this shooting is what we want to do. And I don't know if Mike wants to do this. I mean, this is just my suggestion. I'm not telling Mike how to coach. He was coach of the year this year. But for me, I'll tell you what, the year that we won 55, 56 games, went to the Western Conference Finals. We won a lot of those games. Joel, you were there during the games. We won a lot of those games going to Demo in the fourth quarter on that right box. Do you remember how many times we went to him? Because James got funky. And I was like, man, we got to go. So we got to develop a prong. And he was very good down there because he could pass down there, and they put a lot of small guys on him, and he could shoot over the top of them. And, so they need some of that. They need another guy who's a primary ball handler. I thought it was genius. I thought that, they won 55 games. They gave the ball to James. He stayed in the backcourt. I still will argue that James is at his best when he's ahead. I don't think there's anybody better in the game, maybe LeBron. When James is out ahead and he's got a head of steam, he's coming down in a 4-on-2, a 4-on-3, an odd man situation, that guy is unstoppable.
So let's touch on that. Let's touch on that.
And he and I, hold on, let me just finish one thing. And he and I went around and around and around about getting out ahead of the ball, running ahead, not staying in the backcourt. We had more fights about that than you could stick a stick at. But I just thought he was unguardable in those odd man break situations and wanted to try to get him into 50 of them if I could in the course of the game. But the reality is that, you couldn't get that many out of them. But we tried to get as many as we could.
All right, so let's take a break real quick. Kevin McHale joining us on the HR&P hotline. We're going to come right back. We're going to get into that. Where do they go from here in terms of what's the best upgrades for this team? There's a Gordon Hayward out there. There are players out there. Do they need a true point guard? And what are the next steps for your Houston Rockets so that they can overcome this and move forward? We'll be back with a whole lot more Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
Listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back to The Usual Suspects on the day after, so to speak, as we're talking about the end of the Rockets season with Coach Kevin McHale, the Hall of Famer joining us as he does weekly on the HR&P listener line. And Coach, before the break, we were talking about the fact that, James is one of the best offensive players in this league. And regardless of what happens in the playoffs, as a regular season performer, he gets the job done. As a Rockets team going forward, Daryl's going to be involved. Les is going to be involved. We know that James is probably going to be involved. I know there's a Gordon Hayward out there. There's a Kyle Lowry. There's a lot of moving pieces in free agency. But where do the Rockets go from here? Do they need a point guard, and will James go along with it? Or are they more apt to go more front court, maybe a wing or another big, because they still have to re-sign Nene as well?
Yeah, I would say if you're just asking me watching them, they need a big that can play on the post, they can change it up, they can throw it into them, they can set some screens, they can play from the inside out, which they really don't do much at all. That's just me. Again, Mike D'Antoni is going to have a lot of say into this, and Daryl is really I think he and Mike are pretty simpatico on the on how they want to play the game. But I do believe they need something in the post. Like, you know, you're talking about Gordon Hayward and stuff. I mean, if you're Gordon Hayward, Gordon got the ball a lot. He had ISOs. He had a lot of different stuff that I think Quinn Snyder ran a lot of different offense for him. He's just not a straight catch and shoot guy. It's pin downs. It's just, for me, honestly, I think George James is another place. Part of James' game, which I think is really good, and you said it right, Joel. He's a phenomenal offensive player. Now, here's one thing, just on James too. As a good player, you know, and I played on really good teams and great teams. I felt I could control the game from the defensive end too. I felt that if my offense wasn't going, I could defend, I could block shots, I could stop people, I could change the game up. James doesn't have that half the ball to get yourself going again. He doesn't have that half of the court to get himself going again on the defensive end. He needs to get some of that, because you can get yourself going with a block shot and then a big rebound and stopping the guy. That gets your momentum, and basketball is a game of momentum. You've got to be able to take positive plays and knock them on top of each other. Positive play, positive play, positive play, positive play, negative play, positive play, positive play. And all of a sudden, you build up momentum, and then you become you know, a great player during those times, because you've got so much momentum build up. James cannot build up any momentum on the defensive end, because he doesn't give enough of an effort, honestly, to tell you that truth. But he's got to get that part of his game, because you're losing half of the court. How many times, and everybody saw the great Hakeem Olajuwon, and I use him because I love the guy. He's a wonderful guy. I loved working with him. How many times did you see Olajuwon change the whole complexion of a game with an unbelievable block on the, you know, at an unbelievable time, where in the middle of the third quarter they're making a run and he changes the entire complexion of the game on the defensive end?
Yeah, great point, Coach. So what do they do defensively in this offseason? Do they go out and maybe sacrifice some of this offensive firepower that they have?
I don't know. I think that, you know, they've got to become better, but I think James has got to just say, I got to become a better defender. Now, he hasn't up to this point, and he has his points. I mean, I think James is slowly getting better in that area. But yeah, I think they need to get some players that you can really count on the defensive end. But then again, that hurts you on the offensive end. I'm just saying, for James to get himself going, to be a better defender, would give him another tool in his toolbox to get his mojo going. If you're talking about James on the offensive end, I think James coming off screens and playing below the basket. Okay, when you're the top player and you're standing at the top of the key, at the top of the three-point line, okay, everybody's eyes are on you. It's very easy to see where you're going. Do you ever see how many times Steph Curry throws the ball, and where does he go? Under the basket. He comes off picks. He does this stuff. When you get down there, now I can't see you anymore, so I'm guarding my guy. I'm not turning around looking where the top player is. You can move more from under the basket and come off and read and go to open spaces and do that. James plays on top of the floor all the time, getting him off the ball, getting him coming off single doubles, getting him coming off some other actions. And now, granted, it's not easy, because there are times where he doesn't like doing that. But I think that just would help his game a ton offensively, to get down, stick your head under the basket on the offensive end, and now you don't have every set of eyes watching every dribble, everybody closing down. Because in the playoffs, everything gets tighter. They can take away one or two things. You've got to have three or four or five or six or seven different arrows in your quiver, so that you got something to fire away at. If you got one arrow in your quiver, baby, and you shoot it, you don't hit the mark, Buffalo runs you over.
So, Coach,
it's not a good thing.
So, Coach, take that too for a second, because they're probably not going to go out and get a max player. But you saw what happened in Game 5 in San Antonio. And not only was James on the top of the key, but he let the defense react to him. He got the shot clock mm-hmm. under 10. The half-court line becomes another defender. And it becomes very easy for the defense to adapt to him, and very right. difficult for him to get a shot off. Is that a coaching move where Mike's got to call a play and make James stick to it? Is that James blowing off a call that's been made? And how do you get through to this guy? Because it seems like the more we talk about him, the more it's a maturation process. And it all starts with James having to mature as a player and as a person to kind of realize these situations are going to define you to a lot of people, and you've got to find a different way to handle them.
A little bit of everything. Now, what is James, though? 26?
Yeah, 25, 26, in that range.
Yeah, 25, 26. Well, you know, your maturation point has got to have happened by now. You're 25, 26 years old. Your maturation in the NBA is the 21, 22, 23. You start really kind of getting in there saying, this is how I play better. This is what I need to do. You know, you're asking, getting James down low. But you made my case for me, Joel. When you said he's standing at the top of the key, you got half court as a defender, he's holding the ball. When you're under the basket, someone else has the ball. Someone else can make a play. You're coming up. How many times you see Steph get off the ball and then get back to the ball? And then they get into a pick and roll. It comes off a down screen. And I'm just using Steph because he's another great scorer that plays differently. Now, if Steph gets it rolling, he stays on top and makes those shots. You're like, dang, there's nothing you can do. But when he doesn't, he's moving a lot more and stuff. So if James gets off the ball, here's the thing. Somebody else has the ball on top of the key. Then all four guys are live. All five guys on the floor are live now. Any mistake, the guy can find him. That'd be a point guard or a guy that can read from the top of the key. Doesn't have to be a point guard, just a good playmaker up on top. But everybody's live. When James has the ball and he's dribbling, like you said, and letting the clock run out like he did in overtime, nobody's live, including him. All that's happening is the clock's going down. That's just James when he gets in that funky spot where he just gets more passive.
Well, and I was going to say, too, Coach, the other thing is that some of the greatest players in this league become better because they either draw the defense and they drive and dish because the defense is going to key on them in key situations, or they become a decoy so that everybody focuses on them and it opens the floor for others. We didn't see either one of those things with James Harden. You've been around him enough. You also saw what happened this year. It's a topic that's going around the town. Can this team eventually and maybe ever win a title with James Harden?
Yeah, with the right players around him, I do believe. And with James getting off the ball at times, being on the ball, being off the ball, you know, not saying – and I think Mike did a great job of D'Antoni of giving him the ball and saying, okay, you're an average 15 assists a game. You know what? We're going to win games. I don't care how many assists you have. But you know what? There are going to be games where you're best suited for this team to be under the basket and coming off picks. You're best suited being off the ball more. Because you have to have, like I said, you have to have different things you can do. And it makes the defense be more honest. But you have to have those players like that. Then again, James has got to go along with it. James has got to say, okay, I got to branch out my game. I've got to do a couple different things. And I know that the more we got the ball in James's hand as I was coaching there, the less and less he wanted to come off screens and do that. But you talked about something that I think James could be great at because he's strong and he will set good picks. When you're like that, go and pick for other people. Go get other people open. He didn't do any of that. And that's what I'm saying. You've got to find ways to help your team win when the ball's not in your hand. I just think, yes, he can win the championship. But James is going to have to get into some of that. I mean, that's just the flat out, you know, the truth of it. And it's the way it is. And again, I'm not dogging James. Hey, look, James won a lot of games. When I coached James and I was there, I had fun in Houston. I've never said anything bad about the Houston organization. I'm not ripping on James. I'm just giving my opinion. And
Except me. Let's just be honest.
Yeah, you. But I'm just giving my opinion on the whole thing, what I think he can do, and knowing James really well, kind of what he struggles with at times. And he does struggle with at times getting off the ball and moving and doing that because, again, I think that would help him when he gets in that passive mode. But, yes, he can win there, but he's going to need someone around him, too. He's going to need the right personnel around him to take some pressure off of him in the tightest of moments. And that's why, you know, I was kind of wondering what would happen when he just plays total point guard, never getting out in front, not getting, I mean, look at this year, Joel. Now, you watch way more games than I did. I watched them a lot, but I was doing other games, doing a lot of other stuff too, so I didn't see him all the time. How many times did you see James out on 3-on-2s and 4-on-3s and getting out ahead? On steals he would, but never, how often did you see that off a rebound? Mm. Or off of made baskets.
Yeah, hardly ever.
No, as I said, it's amazing. They scored a ton, but their pace wasn't crazy. It wasn't like, you know, I remember when D'Antoni had the 7 seconds or less thing. I think that would probably suit, if he could push that, probably suit this Rockets team probably better than it did, you know, as good as it did his son's teams.
No question, Coach. Well, we appreciate you spending some time. We know you got this big semifinal game coming up. The big thing is, I don't want to want you to be choking dog. I want you to be hidden tiger. I want you to come out with a roar, and I want results next week. We want to hear you in the title match.
All right, we'll see what happens, my brother. I hope the ball goes straight, baby. But I know one thing. I'm going down swinging. I'll talk to you guys later.
That a boy. Coach Kevin McHale with another great one. Joins us weekly here on the HR&P listener line. We always appreciate his time. We'll be back with a whole lot more right here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This Valentine's Day, create a space that feels warm and welcoming with help from Menards. Whether it's a small refresh or a big project, Menards has the tools and materials you need. Build something together and make your home a place you both love coming back to. Don't forget the sweets for your sweetheart. Get a 6-ounce bag of Russell Stover chocolate candies for $3.99 now through February 14th. Save big money and finish your projects together at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.